Hello and welcome to another edition of Living with Dying. Today I'm joined by Steve Sansom of AIDS UK in Berkshire. And I know your work is mostly focused around helping people with dementia, isn't it, Steve? Would you like to tell us more about it?
Yes, of course. As you probably know, Dennis, the rise of dementia with numbers of that is quite incredible. Currently, nearly a million people have an active diagnosis, but it's due to go up by 60% in only 25 years' time. So it's quite an extraordinary and inevitability of growing old. As you probably know, there's a lot of the concentrations tends to be in areas with a lot of retirement. So the main focus or the biggest concentration and numbers is, funnily enough, Bournemouth and Christchurch area down on the south coast. But as you probably know, dementia is inclusive of anywhere, and there is loads of communities around with a high concentration.
So what you're saying is where there are older communities, the likelihood is greater that you'll find more people.
Yeah. Dementia is a condition that obviously is associated with aging like that, but there is a lot of people under the age of 50 that do have a diagnosis. And I'm very lucky enough to be working with a charity known as Young People with Dementia, who basically have a lovely team supporting those that are quite young that do have a diagnosis.
When you say quite young, how young are we talking about?
Early 40s. You know, with late 30s and early 40s, it does affect a significant number. I think nationally the number that is about 70,000, but like the main totals, it's growing all the time.
I often think there's a bit of confusion between what's Alzheimer's, what's dementia. Can you set me right on that?
Yes, of course I can. Dementia is the umbrella name for anyone with the condition. Alzheimer's is a natural specific type of dementia, and it is the most common type, with 60 to 70% of those with a diagnosis having that type of dementia. You obviously have other types as well, and it basically depends upon part of the brain that the cells are dying to what type of dementia it is. So particular parts of the brain, or when are they losing the cells, etc., is a different type of dementia. But as I said, Alzheimer's is the overall type of it as well. In terms of the length of time, it's a huge variation in the length of a journey. That's a good term, because it is a journey. It's obviously when someone gets diagnosed, and the symptoms very early on are kind of like becoming forgetful, going upstairs and sort of saying, what am I doing up here, and things like that. And as progressively, obviously, the condition takes effect, people become obviously different symptoms. Some become agitated, some become more forgetful, some people don't recognize things, a whole variety of things that happen. The actual condition is perceived very negatively, and we can totally understand that, because we see so many changes in people's personalities in a negative way. But the journey can also be very powerful and very good parts. And the good things that I'm talking about when it comes to dementia is the reminiscence part of things. Reminiscence is a very powerful tool in someone that has reminiscence, and very often playing parts of music and going back to memories of childhood, holidays, can actually be very, very powerful and evoke some very good memories.
And cheer people up, I suppose, is what you're saying.
Exactly, yeah. A very good example is the library service. They have reminiscence boxes. And what these are is collections of items with a common theme to them. So, for instance, there may be a holiday one with deck chairs and such like. There may be a musical one with particular songs from a particular era. And a lot of the care homes get a card with a view to getting hold of the kits and then running sessions with their residents and everything that can evoke the memories, etc. as well.
Is that a thing that libraries do all over the place?
They do, yeah. I worked for Surrey for 25 years, and they had a very good reminiscence service. And then we've just started working with the libraries across the Royal Borough. And on every third Friday, they also run a reminiscence section as well in Windsor Library, which just then shows how dementia is beginning to become normalised, and as a sort of growing acceptance, etc., by working with agencies such as the library and other ones as well.
And can I just take you back to something you said earlier on when you were talking about the different types of the things that come under the umbrella of dementia? Do they manifest themselves in different ways? I mean, you talked about some of the early symptoms, but then as the symptoms progress, is Alzheimer's different from other forms?
It's a very individual journey, Dillis. I've known, as I said, I get to know quite a few people with this role, and sometimes the journey can you don't notice any change in anyone because it's there, but they don't show any symptoms or anything. And then suddenly, for whatever reason, the acceleration in the condition, these things happen and they decline very, very quickly. There's no general pace of it. Sometimes it can be, take hold very, very quickly. And sometimes it can be very slow and not very progressive.
I think when we were talking before, when we were organising this chat, you talked about the difference with vascular dementia, didn't you?
Vascular dementia, as I said, particular behaviours, obviously, because different parts of the brain are affected by dementia. Vascular dementia can be the type of dementia which has the extremes of behaviour, aggression, bad language, a whole variety of ones. It's not a particular nicer type of the dementia, but it's not the most common at the same time. As I said, there's so much variation in how it affects people that it's very difficult to make hard and fast rules.
So what you're saying is when you get a diagnosis, you don't really know what to expect.
No, and that's what my job is about. It's about making the awareness and also I don't know if normalization is the thing, but it's making, removing all the taboos that are associated with dementia, and that people with a diagnosis can go into any environment and be part of what is going on there, and as it becomes socially accepted. And I think certainly as I've gone on my journey with the role, if we've managed to succeed in doing anything, it's getting the awareness out there and bringing it under the one roof and collaborating with the numbers that we are, so that people with the condition feel, yes, they can go out there. And as we've talked about the numbers, it is growing all the time.
And presumably a lot of your work is involving partners or companions of people who've had a diagnosis.
Yes, that's a very, very good point, Dillis. Collaboration has been the buzzword about the condition. I often find that people with the condition are obviously elderly and may struggle to access the information that's out there. We are very lucky in the Royal Borough that we have a lovely dementia care team. So already there's four or five people that are experts. We have obviously several charities. We have a great social prescribing service as well. Each surgery has a social prescriber. And if anyone does have a query, then they have the expertise and the contacts to be able to help people out. We often, when I started the job, the lack of information and sharing it did prove to be a key obstacle in the dementia journey. So we found that setting up all the drop-ins and the Dementia Diary, which we now produce every month, has made the accessibility to information a lot easier.
Going back to what you were saying about, or what we were saying about diagnosis, I can understand that for the person involved, it's a tremendous shock. But how do you help the children or the carers or the partners of people?
Many different ways there, Dilys. We obviously set up the drop-ins, which allows the partner to plan a week where there is a chance for socialisation, get out, meet new people, and let's say escape the four walls that they can feel very trapped at the same time. We also try and help by providing the information. I think a key characteristic are all the forms that a lot of the carers have to fill out. And if they're not IT, that a lot of people are, they just feel so bombarded. So we like to make sure we have people to sort out the forms. Also then, as well as socialization and simple help, little things do mean to provide a lot of challenges. So we like to make sure that we can signpost people to key services, etc. And Age UK Berkshire provides a whole range of these services, handyman, handy person, shopping, and that will offer help to people to make sure that they're looked after and their health and well-being is prioritised. We also do visits, as I think you identified earlier, that a lot of sometimes dementia carers and cared for feel very, very isolated. So we set off for a befriending service where a volunteer that's been properly vetted will go in and provide companionship to either a carer or cared for. So there's lots of different things we can do to support someone with dementia.
I can imagine it's very lonely for both parties.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So particularly for those later on in their journey, when their loved one doesn't recognise them anymore, and there's characteristics of repeating themselves all the time and asking the same questions. That's why some kind of socialisation is very, very important, and the chance to get out. We often find that climate can be quite... make an impact upon the health and well-being of people with dementia, because they do like a fairly what's the word? Not too hot, not too cold.
And a regular routine, I'm guessing.
Yeah, regular routine is very, very important with for people with dementia. They need to have some kind of normality in their life. When we've been planning drop-ins, we try and take into mind that getting someone with dementia ready for some kind of activity can be quite a challenge. So we make all our activities either early afternoon or later in the morning, which gives the chance of people to get themselves ready and to come out to us as well.
Now, you mentioned socialisation a lot, and I've got in front of me a list of some of the events that you run. And I mean, there's masses of them. I can't believe how many there are. You've got coffee mornings, men's matters, health hub, pubs and pastries, talking tables. I mean, a huge variety of activities. And are they all well attended?
It depends, Dilys. The ones that really are quite popular so far, it's the second Tuesday of every month. We go to a pub. That does get very well attended because we're given our own little area for the cafe. So that gets very well attended. Raw Reminiscence is another very well attended event, which is every last Wednesday at Windsor Castle. That was one of our flagship launch events. And it's an hour-long talk given every month by one of the Royal Crown Trust staff about life in the castle. And it is purely for dementia carers and cared for, and it sells out every time, so much so that we are thinking of running a second session every month just to cope with the demand. The other one that gets quite a lot of people is the Memory Mile, which is the Mindful Mile, which is the walk around Ascot Racecourse. We tend to get a few of the care homes coming out to that, and that can get up to 30 walkers, depending upon the temperature. And again, they get teas and coffees provided. We try and spread a lot of the activities around the county. And we're sort of learning best practice that there is sometimes a need to provide some kind of attraction or purpose for the actual activity rather than just providing a simple drop-in. So in the new one that we're starting at Colnbrook, we've already got a yoga teacher penciled in, a move ball. That's a very popular leisure activity that people can sit and exercise that have dementia, which is very, very good. We're hoping to have a crafting session as well. And we have so many people involved with the project that there's no shortage of people that will run a session and make it definitely worth coming to.
Well, you say worth coming to. That leads me on to my next question. What do people get out of it?
A whole range of things. There's the chance to obviously meet new people, chance to combat loneliness by having a purpose to come out, chance for socialization, chance to meet up with existing friends, chance to find out more about the project, chance to, if they've got any queries, to raise them to our attention, and hopefully we can then answer them at the same time. So there's loads of different reasons and reasons to come and join us.
And you mentioned friends, so that makes me wonder about friendships. Do people tend to lose friends when they get a diagnosis of dementia?
It really depends upon the set of circumstances. I would possibly concur with you that as someone's journey progresses, their willingness to participate and go out it dwindles, and it really depends upon what length of how far they are down their care journey and their dependency upon various things. Some, as I said, we're hoping that the project has actually opened up a new world for previously isolated people by throwing up so many new opportunities for them at the same time. But isolation and being on their own can be a key characteristic of someone with dementia, definitely.
Well, I can see with you and your helpers around, there's not much chance of being isolated or lonely.
I hope so.
What do you all get out of it?
I've never had a career like it. I've done a lot of wonderful things. I've worked in the public sector and working with customers for most of my roles. And I'm just amazed by the degree of collaboration and what's happened, that we now send our dementia diary to nearly 3,000 email addresses a month, which in turn then is used by a lot of professionals. So it would be very interesting to see the totals it reaches and the impact that it has for people with dementia. We are, as I said, very lucky to have the dementia team and two charities supporting the dementia community. But I'd like to think that the role's certainly made a difference and done a lot for people.
What is your view about celebrities who decide to go public with their dementia, or maybe not even decide themselves, but their partners decide for them? I've got a few questions around that myself.
It's a very individual thing, but in terms of a general impact, I would think it's quite positive. Because it's the stories of people like Barbara Windsor and other people's that promote dementia, that draw people's awareness to it and adds to the kind of like normalization that it's not, I don't know if freak show is the correct term to use, but it's a normal part of an aging society. And it sort of overturns the taboos and the things that many people have about dementia. And in many ways, poet portrays it as a positive experience, depending upon the individual journey.
I suppose that's exactly what you and your work is trying to do, is to bash some of the taboos, isn't it? Get rid of some of the taboos.
Yes.
Open up society so that we understand what's going on and understand that it might happen to us.
It could happen to anyone. It could. I'm in my early 50s now, so it might be something that happens to me. But we would, it's to have someone with the condition go out and able to board a bus to the shops. That's what we would like the image of dementia to portray. The independence that someone is able to have a normal life after an active diagnosis and be as positive as possible.
Sounds like a very positive place to end. So thank you so much for talking to me, Steve, and thank you for all the wonderful work you're doing. That's Steve Sanson of Dementia Friendly, which is part of Berkshire Age UK. And Steve, would you like, before you go, to let me know where people can find you?
Fantastic. Yes, copies of the monthly diary are available on the charity's website, which is www.ageukberkshire.org.uk. And please, if you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at steve.sansom, S-A-N-S-O-M, at ageukberkshire.org.uk.
That's wonderful. Thank you ever so much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Death is never easy, but there are ways we can help each other through it. And if you've found any of these episodes helpful, please think about liking and sharing. And if you can help spread the word by telling just one other person, thank you. And a huge thanks to Joe Barrett, without whom these podcasts would simply not be possible. You can contact us on hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.